The Image of Gold Forgotten and Israel's God Honored, Chapter 116. In the immediate vicinity of Babylon, the splendid capital of Nebuchadnezzar, lies the plain of Dura. At the time of our story, many Babylonian laborers are there, all working industriously. When they have completed the task which they have been doing, we see an image, an idol, so nice and so large that there is not another to be found like it upon the entire earth. Its height is 60 cubits, which is about 90 feet. It is as high as a tower. It shines and sparkles in the sunlight, for this image is made of gold. Now you must not think the entire image is one mass of gold. No, most likely it is overlaid with gold. It could be the head is of solid gold and the remaining part overlaid with gold, because Daniel had said that Nebuchadnezzar was that head of gold. But whatever it may be, this idol must have cost a fortune. It can be seen far in the distance. Nebuchadnezzar made this image even though only recently he had confessed publicly that the God of Daniel was mightier than the gods of his kingdom. He said this when Daniel had told him his dream and had made known its interpretation. But he did not serve and fear Daniel's God with his heart, otherwise he never would have made this idol. Nebuchadnezzar is proud of his new idol. Soon it will be dedicated, but that must not be done quietly. No, the king decides to make a great feast for that occasion. It must be a magnificent and splendid feast. He will call together thousands of his most distinguished men to come to the plain of Dura. Ah, they all must see and admire this great image. They all must praise the might and wealth of their king. Nothing else but the image should be talked about throughout his entire kingdom. This huge feast must serve to his honor and to the honor of his God. Nebuchadnezzar smiles as these thoughts go through his mind. He quickly gives his orders, sending his servants to all parts of his extensive realm. They must call together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, and the sheriffs. Yes, all those who hold an office in the government are called to attend the dedication feast of this enormous idol, the image which Nebuchadnezzar has set up. It is some time later. The plain of Dura is filled with people. They have assembled from all regions of the empire to celebrate this feast, the feast of the dedication of this golden image. The common people are not present. No, only the wealthiest and most distinguished persons of Babylon are present. The sun reflects the many pearls and diamonds which decorate their clothing. Suddenly, it becomes quiet as the herald of the king cries loudly. When you hear the sound of music, all must fall down and worship the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king has built. Whoever does not bow down will be cast into the burning fiery furnace. He points to the furnace which stands near, from which the smoke slowly circles upward. Everyone can see the king means what he says. Death in a fiery furnace is not an idle threat, but it will surely become a reality if they do not bow to the idol. When the herald is finished speaking, he remains breathlessly quiet. They all listen and wait for the signal. Hearken! Musical tones resound. At the sound of the music, everyone falls upon his knees and worships this lifeless god. Everyone? No, not everyone. Behold, three men are standing upright. They tower above the kneeling multitude. They refuse to obey the command of the king. They remain standing. Oh, how dare they! Don't they fear the wrath of the king? Don't they see the fiery flames shooting from the furnace? Who are they? They are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Jewish young men who received a position in the government from the Babylonian king. They also had to come, and now they are assembled with the multitude. But isn't that very ungrateful of them? The king has been so good to them, and do they refuse to obey him? They must honor the king and do as he commands, should they not? What are your thoughts concerning this? Boys and girls, that is not being ungrateful. Because in the first place, we, and that includes these young men, must obey God. The Lord commanded in His laws, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them." This is how the command of God reads, and this must be obeyed. These men refuse to bend their knees before this dead idol. They only bend their knees to the living God, the God of heaven and earth. They remain standing to let all the other people see that they do not agree with this wicked idolatry. They remain standing in protest. Who among you would dare to do likewise? Alas, how often aren't we ashamed to admit that we are religious? That is sad. Of course, it was impossible for them not to be discovered. A few Babylonians, when they see this, hasten to the king. Ah, their eyes sparkle with revenge, with malicious joy, and they could not tolerate the fact that the three strangers, those despised Israelite captives, were honored so highly by the king. They had become very jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All their desire was to cause these men to fall, and they have been looking to find fault with these three men, but it wasn't easy, for the king liked them, and they performed their work well. But now they have a splendid opportunity to stir up the king against them. Finally, they have found something that causes them to rejoice. "King," they say as their voices vibrate with gladness, "King, didn't you make a decree that everyone must kneel and worship the image when the music began to play?" Now the three Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did not bend their knees. They remained standing upright. They looked at the king triumphantly. They are anxious to know what the Nebuchadnezzar will answer. He looks angry. His eyes sparkle with evil forebodings. "Go, get those men and bring them here," his command rings out furiously. They obey hastily while a devilish joy sparkles in their eyes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego soon appear before the mighty monarch. In anger, he looks at them searchingly. "Has it been done purposely, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you have not bent your knees when the signal was given?" he asks gruffly. The king is not willing to kill them immediately. He will test them once more. He will give them another opportunity. Therefore, he says, "The music will play again. If you do what you are commanded, it shall be well. But if you refuse, you will be burned alive in the red-hot furnace. Then I would like to know who will be able to deliver you out of my hands." However, the three young men do not drop their eyes before the enraged monarch. Unafraid, they look at him as they answer calmly, "King, it will avail us nothing to try to defend ourselves. You will not listen to us anyway. If those are your orders, do with us as you please. Our God is able to save and deliver us from death. But if He is not pleased to do so, we still will not worship or honor your golden image." A deadly silence prevails after this courageous utterance of the three men. Everyone waits in great suspense for the outcome. Oh, look at Nebuchadnezzar! Upon hearing this answer, his face is completely distorted with rage. He alternately turns pale and red. His eyes roll furiously. "Fire the furnace," he hisses hoarsely. "Fire the furnace. Make it 7 times hotter than it is now." Servants hasten to perform his command. They shudder from this unknown rage of their king. More and more fuel is thrown upon the fire. The flames blaze higher and higher. Soon the furnace is vibrating with heat. It no longer is a furnace of stone. It has become one mass of red fire. The men, who from time to time must feed the fire, hardly can bear the heat. Finally, it is no longer possible to produce more heat. "Now throw in those rebels," the command of Nebuchadnezzar rings furiously. A few big, strong men are chosen to execute this terrible sentence. They take hold of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and bind them with strong ropes so they are helpless. Yes, they cannot even move. They are in the hands of their wrathful enemies. What transpired in the hearts of these courageous young men? We do not know. The Bible is silent about it. They are carried by these strong soldiers toward the furnace. Terrific, such heat! Involuntarily, for the moment, they are forced to shrink back. Forward! Go ahead! Commands the king impatiently. We read in God's word that the king's command was urgent. Even though the heat scorches them, even though their breath is practically cut off, yet these Babylonian men must go closer. With their utmost exertion, they throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the center of the blazing fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar's servants fall dead upon the ground. The unbearable heat and the sparks of fire from the furnace kill them. If it were so hot on the outside of the furnace, what must it have been in the furnace itself? It is impossible to describe. Nebuchadnezzar sits there, the mightiest king upon the earth. He still trembles from rage. What? Will he permit himself to be insulted by those three Jews? Never. A malicious grin comes upon his wrath-distorted face. He isn't a bit concerned about the half-charred bodies of the soldiers who had cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, lying there by the furnace. The life of a person has no value to Nebuchadnezzar. He has avenged himself, and satisfactorily too. That, for him, is the main thing. Searchingly, he looks into the blazing fire. Probably he hopes to hear their cries of distress and moans. But a look of the greatest astonishment comes upon his face. What is that? Is he seeing right? Ah, that cannot be. And yet, in the midst of that extremely hot flame, he discerns four forms. They are walking about calmly. He quickly stands up, walks a few paces nearer in order to see better, and then turns with questioning eyes to his counselors who are standing nearby. Didn't we cast three bound men into the fire? He falters. They answer promptly, yes, of course, it is true, O king. Nebuchadnezzar says, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and the fourth is like the Son of God. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar, you certainly do see four men. You are not mistaken. Do you know what happened? God sent his angel to stand by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Lord interceded for his faithful servants. They walk in the red-hot furnace, unhurt. The fire cannot harm them. However, one thing did burn, the fetters with which they were bound. These bands were consumed in a moment by the fire, so these young men could stand. They were not hindered by the galling ropes. They had said, Our God is able to save and deliver us from death. This now is evident. The Lord reveals this to all these heathen men. The hatred and rage of Nebuchadnezzar suddenly disappears. Completely dumbfounded and speechless with astonishment, he looks at this wonderful spectacle. Then he approaches still closer to the door of the burning fiery furnace and calls, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come here. Respect can be heard in his voice. The three Jewish young men immediately leave the glowing red-hot furnace. They did not come out of their own accord. No, they waited until the king called them. It wasn't necessary for them to flee from the flames. Soon all three stand before Nebuchadnezzar. Three? Weren't there four? Yes, indeed. But the angel, which had been sent by the Lord, has returned into heaven. His task has been accomplished. He returns to him who sent him. In the meantime, the governors of the Babylonian group around the young men, they have seen everything, witnessing this great event with profound astonishment, but now they want to be convinced whether it really is true what they have seen. They inspect them from head to toe. They shake their heads and look at each other. How can that be possible? They cannot understand it at all. Even the hairs of their heads are not burned, not even singed. Their clothing is whole and undamaged. They smell them and perceive that the odor of smoke and fire did not even penetrate their clothing. Nebuchadnezzar also stands there. profound reverence for the mighty God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego overpowers him. Nebuchadnezzar, this is the second time the God of the Jews has manifested his almighty power to you. The first time was when Daniel told and interpreted his forgotten dream. The second time is here with the fiery furnace. He, the mighty king of Babylon, for whom millions of subjects tremble, has suffered a formidable defeat, and he acknowledges it publicly. Listen to what he says. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. I did say that no one could deliver them out of my hand, but this God has shown that he is stronger than all kings upon the earth. He then makes a decree that no one may slander or curse this God, and whoever will do so shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. For, he says, no other God exists upon the whole earth who is so powerful. There is no other God who can deliver in this manner. The feast is finished. Is not the purpose of their gathering together defeated? The many people slowly return to the capital. They are deeply impressed by what has transpired. Everyone speaks about it. In the plain of Dura, the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar stands alone and forsaken. It is forgotten. No one speaks about it. No one thinks of it. It was to have been a feast to the honor and glory of this dead idol of Nebuchadnezzar and of Nebuchadnezzar, but it has become a feast to the honor of the living God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Whoever would have expected such a change? Soon, this event is known throughout the entire kingdom. The command of the king of Babylon is made known everywhere. The three Jewish youths, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are restored to their office by the king. We read in the Bible that the king promoted them. No one dared trouble them after this. This incident not only proved to be a blessing for these three young men, but also for all the Jews. They could worship their God freely and undisturbed. No one ventured to speak with disregard about this almighty God, for they all feared the command of the king. The vile plan of the Babylonians, who wanted to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to this downfall, was a complete failure. Do you see, boys and girls, how the Lord undertook to care for his faithful servants? They were not put to shame. And do you think this God has changed? Indeed not. This God never changes. We also live in a world full of heinous crimes and deceit. God and his worship are mocked. What do you do? Do you join in this mockery because you are afraid you will be laughed at? Oh, do not do it. Never do it. Ask the Lord to make you faithful so that you may remain loyal to him. Do not bow. No, never bow before the idols of this day. There are no stone images in our country at this time, but there are many other idols, such as sports and games, feasts and dances, radios and televisions, etc. May the Lord give that you may fear, serve, and love him uprightly. For God's people will never be put to shame. No, God is faithful. He will give his people strength and ability, and one day he will take them to himself, into eternal glory. No fiery furnaces are there. No mocking and sinning will be committed there. No, but eternal joy and happiness shall prevail there.